We're going to consider this portion of Paul's letter to the Colossians, and in doing so, we're going to look at this theme. You and I, as believers in Christ, are to put on a new self, a new life in Christ. We are to let go of our old lives and take on the righteousness of Christ for our own. It's such a central message of the apostles, of Christ himself. Matter of fact, we referred to it a couple sermons ago, that very place in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, chapter 3, when one of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, comes to him in the middle of the night. He asks, "What must I do? How can this be?" And Jesus says, "You are to be born," what does he say? "Born anew, born again." That your spiritual life, you cannot be born, the guy asks him, well, how am I going to be born from my mother's womb again? It's crazy. And he says, no, you're to ground life, this spiritual birth is to take place, born of water and the Spirit. We are to be new people in Christ. So much of what we do, I think sometimes, I don't want to speak for you, but is I had my life that I was living, and what I wanted to do was just add Christ to that life, right? Isn't that how sometimes people think of living for Christ? Christ is just a part of their life now. They've brought religion into their life. They've brought Jesus into their life, and Jesus says, that's not what I want. You are to take my life for yourself. To put away your old life, your old desires, your old goals, your old aims, and to take on a new life. And Paul, to the Colossians, addresses this head on. So we're going to talk about that. The theme today is put on the new self, or put on the new life, or a new life. However you want to put it in your notes, that's what we're saying. And as he breaks it down here in this brief passage, the Colossians, there's four things he has to say to us, and we're going to look at each one. You guys ready? Ready to roll? Say, we're ready, Pastor. Okay. So number one, we're to look up. Everybody say look up.
Look up.
We're to look up. Look up. We are to look toward Jesus. We are to focus on Christ. We've been raised with Christ. Our life should be centered and focused on Jesus. We have a lot of focuses that vie for our attention, don't we, church? We have our workplaces, we have family, we have friends, all those kinds of things that war for the focus of our life. They want us to make all our life, or the center of our life, them. And Christ says, no, you must hold me in the center of your heart. I have to be first. I am replacing all that you have. That's why it's so troubling when we read those passages in the Gospels. When he says, unless you forsake your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your children, you have no part of me. People read that and they're confused by that. But he's saying that very thing in a different way. That his kingdom and his life is to be center of your life. Not a hub, not a spoke on the wheel, but the center of that wheel of your life. That everything that you do radiates out from your relationship with Jesus. You hear that, church? So we're to look up. We have to look up. We have to be looking to Jesus, looking up at him, focusing on him, keeping our eyes on Jesus. That's what the writer of Hebrews says, doesn't he? In the God's word, it says that we are to keep and fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Am I yelling too much? You guys awake? What are we supposed to do, church? Look. Look up. Look to Jesus. I want to ask, do you look to Jesus? Is Jesus a part of your daily life? You know, I'm married. We celebrated our 30th anniversary this last summer. And imagine a marriage where the couple doesn't say a thing to each other throughout the entire week, and then they get together for 1 hour on Sunday or 1 hour a week to talk to each other, and that's the only time they get together and talk. You think that'd be a great marriage, church? How many think that'd be a great marriage? Don't raise your hands. I'm getting in trouble. Everybody's looking around. Ooh. How many of you think that would hardly be a marriage at all? Raise your hand. That's not a marriage. That's not a life of intimate love and grace and joy and peace. It may be peace, but not the kind we need. That's not a relationship. And yet, how many Christians, the only thought they give to God is this hour on Sunday morning. The only time they look to Jesus is during this period of time in their life. And they call that a relationship with God. That's why we know in the scriptures when Jesus gives those warnings, many will come to me in that day and say, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we go to church? Didn't we sing the songs? Didn't we read your... And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. We didn't have a love relationship. You didn't listen to my voice. You didn't walk with me. You came and visited me once a week, but you didn't walk with me. Church, are you looking up in your life? Tomorrow morning, are you going to look up to your God? Are you going to look toward Him? Are you going to fix your eyes on Him and ask Him about your day? Are, at the end of the day, are you going to talk with Him about all that you've experienced? Are you going to share life with Him? Many of us are familiar with those practices. We know when we get home from work and we sit with our families, we talk to one another. We share with one another. We love one another through those things. Do you love the Lord that way? Do you, church? Are you looking up? He wants to build a new life in you. The old life is not fit for His kingdom. It won't have a place in heaven. You're to cast that away, to hold on to the new life. And to do that, we have to look up. The second thing we have to do is look out. Look out. Everybody say, look out.
Look out.
We look up to Christ, but we also have to watch out. We have to look out. Paul reminds us in verses 5 through 9 that there's a lot of stuff out there to tear you away from Christ, to fight your relationship with Christ. There's an enemy at large who hates your relationship with God, who will do everything to throw stumbling blocks in your way. And if he cannot make you and tempt you to sin, he will get you obsessed with things that have nothing to do with God's kingdom and tear your time and your emotions and your energy away. Use a marriage relationship again. We know that doesn't work very well, does it? How many of you have heard about marriages where one of them's a workaholic? Right? And they neglect their family, they neglect their children, they neglect their spouse. We're to look out for these snares, not just the sin, Hebrews says, that so easily entangles, but these other things that weigh us down in our life. Are you looking out? There's patterns in your life. There's sin in your life, temptations in your life that you already know are going to be coming this week. How many of you have ever stubbed your toe in the middle of the night walking around, or not even in the middle of the night? I think some of us are probably. My mother, I think, broke her little toes just about once a month. the way she, mom was always taping her toes together. I love my mom, but, how many of us have stubbed our toe more than once on the same object in our house? Raise your hand. How many of us still haven't moved that object and are going to stub our toe probably next year? There's sin in your life that keeps stubbing you up, that keeps tripping you up. And you haven't adjusted your life to account for that snare. You haven't moved that out of the way. You haven't rearranged the household of your heart to remove that temptation, to avoid that temptation, that snare. And you walk around hobbled by sin. And you wonder why. Why do I keep falling? Why do I keep suffering this temptation? Why do I keep saying these things? Why do I keep doing these things? It's because you've made allowance for sin in your life. And you haven't rooted out. Paul says, look out. Be on the lookout for this stuff. He mentioned several different things. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. He talks about using your mouth in bad ways, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Have you made allowances for this sin in your life, or are you rooting it out? And if you know it's a constant temptation, are you adjusting your life to account and get it out of the way? That's why God can look at us sometimes and see how foolish we are. Just like every once in a while, I thought, Mom, why do you keep the coffee table there? Maybe we don't need a coffee table. Maybe the end tables are good enough. We're supposed to look up, church. Fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Look out for the sin that so easily entangles. But to look in, too. To look inward. The Greek philosophers weren't wrong when they said we're to know ourselves. Paul invites us to consider our heart. You see, the problem that we, and I would say that I encounter, maybe you do too, is that there is enough pain in this world that my heart gets calloused. Calloused toward it. How about you? You suffer pain, you suffer disappointment enough, your heart begins to grow hard. cynical, cautious, seeking our own security over everything else, not concerned with what's happened to our heart, the level of our compassion, the grace that we offer others. What kind of heart do you have? Do you have a stony, rocky heart? Do you keep people at a distance? Do you think the worst of everybody and attribute bad motives to everyone you meet when they do you wrong? Or do you assume the best and hope for the best in others? What kind of heart do you have? Is it cynical? Is it a hard heart? So what the world does to us, we live in a hard world, don't we, church? And that hard world, if we're not careful, if we don't avail ourselves of the means of God's grace, our heart will become like the world. And we'll fall away. And we'll bring that cynical attitude in among God's people. And let sin work itself into the church. Because our hearts have grown hard. We've let the world's nastiness, the world's politics, the world's abusiveness, the world's sexualness get in here. Because our hearts are hard. Paul says, look up to the Lord. Watch out for that sin and look into your own heart. Put on the new self, he says, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Is God's truth in your heart? He says, then you need to look around. You need to look around. Look at the people that are in your life. How are you living out God's will for them? Are you a Christ for them? Are you a true disciple who have taken on the nature of the Master who came? And love those who did not love him, who taught those who refused to understand, who lifted sinners out of darkness, who called evil men his brother. Isn't that amazing about Christ? He went to Matthew in the tax collector's booth, this man who is dedicated to making money above all else, who would betray his own clan, his own kinsmen, and he said, follow me. Follow me, be one of my disciples. And Matthew, at that invitation, left everything and followed him. Isn't that amazing, church? The way Jesus lived. Look around to the people around you. So many of us, we hold grudges. We think the worst. And thankfully, we did not follow a Lord who did the same, did we? Even while he was being crucified. Our God, the one you call Master, I call Master, who has saved us from hell. He looked at the men who mocked him, who spit upon him, who were responsible for his torture and his death. And he looked on them, and what did he say, church? Forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. This world is not a crisis of sin as much as it is in a crisis of forgiveness. Look at everything that goes on in our church, in our town, in our nation, in our world, that could be so easily cured if just an ounce of forgiveness would be applied. You know it's true, don't you, church? Say amen if you understand that. Amen. You are to be forgivers. You are to bring what you have received, forgiveness, which is the most important thing you and I have received of all the things we've been given. A forgiveness that leads us to life eternal. And you and I are bearers of that forgiveness into the world. That doesn't mean we treat evil as good and good as evil. But when we have been trespassed, when we have been violated, when our boundaries have been broken, when debts have been incurred, and we want to call them into account, we are called to let them go and forgive. We had amazing prayer meetings, probably why it's so much on my heart this week. We were convicted by God on Wednesday night about this issue of forgiveness. And we began to confess around our prayer circle in that room the people we needed to forgive, that we were holding on to that account in our hearts, that debt we felt they owed us. They deprived us of something we deserved, or they took something from us that we had, whether it was our dignity or our respect or real world damage. We were called to forgive. And we were challenged by the Lord on this issue. And we came to the table with tears, or came to the circle, many of us with tears, because of that issue of forgiveness. It's hard to forgive, isn't it, church? One of the prayers we began to pray, just like that sinner who struggled to... I'm sorry, Isaiah. One of those things that, you know, those prayers when Jesus came to bring healing to someone, and he said, you know, do you believe I am the Messiah, the Son of God? He says, I believe, but what? Help my unbelief. You know, the prayer I've been praying now since Wednesday night prayer meeting is, Lord, I forgive him. Help my unforgiveness. I choose in your sight to forgive him. So help me in my unforgiveness. You know, that's what we're to bear. Look around. Who is it that you need to forgive? Who is it that you need to lift up? Who is it that you need to share the good news of Jesus Christ with in your life? God has put so many people, so many names, so many faces in your life right now that need him. You know it. How are you helping them? Are you letting Christ shine through you? Is your lamp still burning, church? Or is it just a smoldering wick? We're to look up. Everybody say, look up. We're to look out. Look in. And look around. God has made this church to share his light to our town. Which means the people you know, your neighbors. Are we going to do that, church? But that light has to be present in us, doesn't it? Forgiveness, grace. We can't give what we haven't received. And if you haven't received that forgiveness, you need to pray today. If you haven't forgiven someone, you really need to pray today. Because God will not hold you blameless for that hardened heart when you meet him. After all that he's given to you, if you hold on to those things and think that he's going to bless you when you get to glory for it, Lord, we need to read our Bible in the sight of the Lord. Do you believe that, church? So let's, with humble and contrite hearts, let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, this day we pray. We want to be new creatures, new creations in you, and you have to do it. You have to renew us. Holy Spirit, come, guide our hearts back to you. Help us understand our own heart and where it's going. And Lord, help us to look around, to see those around us, to give the forgiveness they need. Lord, you forgave us. There's no excuse in us. We run the justifications in our mind, the reasons why we're right when we may be right. But we're not righteous. So forgive us, Lord, and guide us to serve you with our whole heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.